It was a very complicated process, the drafting of the Freedom Charter.
Mm.
And eventually, I really, you know, I know some of us who were there definitely, but...
Yeah. But on the trial, it's amazing to me, sitting at the distance of time, that it seems that 4 years were spent defining simply two words, communism and treason. It's the most extraordinary trial looked at in that way. Could one say that's...
Well, the trial was really a propaganda exercise. And
which the movement won, really.
Absolutely, hands down. And in fact, although it was intended to disorganize the movement, I mean, you had the spectacle for the first time in South African history of 156 people representing a sort of even proportion of every part of the population being charged with creating hostility between the races. I mean, it's absolute, you know, I mean, that sight, you know, of this group, the only group in South Africa in one cage.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, the failure and the fact that it was all based, it so much was based on language, how words were used, how things were defined.
I think it was a really clumsy, unthought out effort, and you know, once it started, you see, that's what happens with these things. It has a momentum of its own. They couldn't very well sort of get out of it, and they tried in all kinds of directions to back up their case, but it was, I mean, you've read about it.
Yeah,
also,
yeah, Could you say the trial was really between apartheid and non-racialism? I mean, those are the two core themes that seem to run through it.
Well, I think the trial was an attempt. You see, what it was really an attempt at a time before they had decided to outlaw the ANC, was an attempt to destroy the ANC through legal means, through judicial processes. You know, and had they succeeded, you know, and had they succeeded in proving that the treason, that the Freedom Charter was amounted to treason, then the advocacy of that policy would have been illegal.
Yeah.
And therefore, it was an attempt which failed miserably, and that it was communism, of course, you know, and so on.
Yeah. What effect did the trial have on your sort of private lives?
Well, I mean, it disorganized my practice. It didn't, you know, interfere so much with Ruth's journalistic activities, because the trial itself was part of what we were all doing, you know, those of us, those of them who were journalists.
Yeah. During the 60s, during 1960, the emergency, Ruth and the children went off to Swaziland.
That's right.
For 6 months. It's a sort of blank area for me. What did she do there? Did she just sit and wait? Were there other exiles or temporary exiles there?
Oh, yes. No. What happened was that they arrested people in stages. And I always assumed, I told her she was going to be arrested first, and she said, no, I was going to be arrested first. And it happened that I was arrested first. And then a decision was taken that it was coming, the rest of the arrests were coming, and all those who could evade arrest sort of made tracks, most of them, to Swaziland. So there was a rather big community there.
Mm.
You know, I don't know exactly what they did there, but, you know, they were evading the detentions under the emergency.
And the kids were out of school. They were just sort of 6 months in limbo there.
Christ, let me think. You know, I have the feeling that they might have... I'm not so certain, you know. I don't think they did go to school there, no.
She must have expected to be arrested when she returned, I guess.
No, by the time she returned, the emergency was over. And we were all being released.
Mm.
I mean, when I was released, she had come back to Joburg, but was living somewhere else, because we still thought they might turn the tables.
Mm. So she sort of went into hiding in Joburg?
In Joburg for a short while, yes.
Yeah. And just finally, Joan Rivonia, what was Ruth's involvement in the events that led up to Rivonia? I mean, she was still on the party...
She was on the party central committee.
So she was very involved in
very
all
involved,
that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But she, by some accident, was not present, like with me, because I'd been sent out of the country.
Yeah.
at the moment.
Did you know it was coming? Is that why you left, or was it was fortuitous?
No. In my case, I was sent out together with J.B. Marks to carry out a mission and to return within 2 months and stay underground.
Yeah.
And while I was out, Rivonia blew. So,
Just she wasn't at Rivonia for that meeting, and that was her luck.
Yeah, that was her luck, yeah.
Was she involved in the mobile radio station? 'Cause that's...
No, not at all.
I understood that she was involved with that.
No, she wasn't involved in that.
Pity, it'd be nice that she was involved with the beginning of Radio Freedom.
but she wasn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Why was she not put on trial? I mean, is it just... And they must have known that she was involved.
Well, they didn't have sufficient evidence, I think. And, you know, at that time, even though they'd already started this 90-day stuff and so on and so forth, they hadn't gone in for the kind of extreme tortures and so on and so forth. So they didn't manage to get as much information as they later got about people.
Do you think it could be because she was white and a woman, as it wouldn't have looked good on a treason trial where they expected the death penalty?
I don't know what motivated them, but I think had they had... so direct evidence, I don't think they would have hesitated.
I'm going to ask Victor that, you know. He's now General Victor, and he's in charge of the Siskiyon police.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very tempted to go and ask him.
Well, why not?
I will. When you saw her again, had she changed much after detention? What effect did it have on her?
Well, she, you know, first of all, she was obviously... you know, she had been affected by the detention in the sense that although she hadn't given anything away of any substance as a result of the kind of mental torture they went in for, she did begin to...